that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this morning. It's still dark here. Starting to see a little bit of light back to the east, but no sunrise yet. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. We'll have the phone lines open up here in just a little bit if you want to call in, and we'll try to have a pot of coffee on for you if that's what you want to do this morning. But we're going to open up with a word of prayer, and I'll do that, and then we'll go from there. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be here on the radio, on the internet, on the shortwave broadcast, Lord. And thank you for this time of fellowship with us here, Lord, and with you and with the remnant, Lord, because that's what this is. It's a time of fellowship, a time of iron sharpening iron, Lord, a time to discuss the day's events, Lord, but more importantly, to be about the more important things, Lord, to talk about your word and how it applies to us, and Lord, how it has applied to us and what it is for us today. And so we thank you for that, Lord. We ask for your blessings on the broadcast, that, Lord, you would just give Jason and I the words to say, the thoughts to think, and that, Lord, you would let this broadcast be a blessing to you, that it would go out strong, and that, Lord, it would edify your people, that, Father, as your remnant tune in from coast to coast, Lord, from all over, for that very thing, Lord, for fellowship and for hearing your word, that we thank you for that, Lord. We do, and we ask your blessings on it. Lord, we thank you for our pastor that went before us, that worked and that built this ministry, Lord, on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And Lord, on that foundation it stands. As we continue on, Lord, and moving a little here and growing some there, Lord, we still build on that foundation of Jesus Christ. And as your word says, Lord, in Matthew, that when the storms come, because, O Lord, we know the storms come, the winds, they beat against the house, and Lord, the rains come and the floods come, but Lord, the house stands. and this ministry shall stand because it is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to remember that each and every one of our houses are to be that very same way, Lord, built on that foundation so that when the storms come, that the house stands, and it does to your glory. And we thank you for that, Lord. Guide and direct us, and Father, we ask your blessings on this broadcast this morning and on your remnant. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, not a whole lot going on here. You know, it's Brandon time and preg checking time, and so just ranch things have been going on here outside and between us and the neighbors and that type thing. It's been a beautiful fall, almost summer-like. We've been about freezing at night, but hitting the 60s during the day, and for this time of year, that is just, it's beautiful weather. So not a whole lot going on down here in little old Laramie, Wyoming. But Jason, you were telling me, had a bit of excitement, or whatever you might call it, had a visitor up there in Fort Collins this week.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting this week. Ex-President Bill Clinton was in town, and he came into town with campaigning, and he ended up at New Belgium, one of the local breweries, which is now kind of quite a national brewery. But that started right here in Fort Collins. Actually started in La Porte here, just a few blocks from us, and grew into something. And it was, it's interesting because, boy, they pushed it on the news. And it started off as you had to buy tickets, and it got down to where you could get free tickets because they weren't selling. People interested in going. They made all these preparations, and sometimes I just wonder how much money, these places lose, because, it costs a lot of money. If you plan on having, 1,000 people come in to a banquet room and, speaking engagement for 1,000 people, and you have 300-400 people show up, a lot of times that is, instead of making you money, it's going to cost you money.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
I mean, it's just because there's the prep work and everything that goes into it, but, I don't have a final number, but I know that it was about 500 people. They were planning on 1,000 people showing up. They ended up getting about 500 with the last number that I heard as far as showed up. And, even that, for the area that it was in, trying to park 500 cars and get 500 people in there, that was, no easy scheme. There was a lot of people that were walking quite some distance away to get in there. But it kind of shocked me that, here in Fort Collins, and then you're thinking about, you kind of would think that, somebody, ex-President Bill Clinton, that he could still draw a decent crowd. And I originally thought that, that's kind of a weird place for him to be speaking, because they can't seat more than, 1,000 people in there. And, I guess they knew right, because they sure didn't get the numbers. They didn't get the turnout.
And Colorado is Colorado's usually a votes Democrat, doesn't it? Normally, I mean, I know a lot of conservative, conservatives and Republicans.
It's that's the way it is now.
Well, and so
I don't know. I just thought it was kind of interesting.
Oh, absolutely.
You see so much of this stuff going on, and it's like, this presidential debates and this and that. And, I mean, you look at what's happened with, it's like Hillary or Trump, and then you see, but then, and granted, what do you do? Do you pick the lesser of two evils? But then some of this stuff that I've seen lately with Trump picking up that homosexual gay agenda, sign and walking around proudly with it. And, it's like, really? I mean, come on. And then you stop and you think, could anybody get to that point if it was already picked out? And I believe that, anybody that gets to that presidential campaign list, I mean, we're talking about a Babylonian system.
Yes.
Now, granted, I 100% believe that God can intervene and can can turn somebody's heart and can use somebody. Don't get me wrong. I believe that. But I'm talking as far as their Babylonian system is concerned. I don't believe that you ever get to that point without being on their side, being on the enemy's side, being, you know, it's the side of Babylon.
Yeah, it's not like they're looking in churches for their next leader. It's not like that they're, you know, looking in those type places. If you have a godly system, you have a, and you have that Babylonian system, that system of the world. You know, Jesus said that you cannot serve God and mammon. And that's red letters, folks. And that mammon means, you know, several things. It can mean man. It can mean wealth or riches. The wealth and riches that come from the, you know, the worldly system. And you cannot serve both. So says the Bible. I mean, that's what the Bible says. If you don't like it, just back there in Matthew, we can flip over there. You can get your Sharpie and mark it out. But that's what the Bible says. So if we're going to believe it, Jason, you're absolutely right. You know, I think Trump is a whole lot less evil than Clinton, but he still is neck deep in the system as anybody is. He has sought wealth his whole life. And if you have spent your whole life seeking wealth and building business and doing all that stuff, you haven't been seeking the Lord. I mean, does that seem to make sense, Jason, or am I off base there?
Well, you know, I mean, that's what most people do. I mean, you know, generally is seek wealth. I mean, you know, that's kind of what a person, from the time the person moves out from home, that's what they're, you know, one of the things that they're supposed to do. You're supposed to seek God too, but I mean, in moderation.
Right. We are to seek first the kingdom. And, you know, got a prayer. Got a short prayer here. It came out last week, and it's just a prayer for a president and leaders that love this country. If you don't mind, Jason, won't take but about a minute. I'll read it. Well, and folks, we have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913, if you want to call in this morning. And anyway, the prayer, and it starts with the quote from Psalms 46:10 that says, "Be still and know that I am God." Dear beloved God in heaven, please give us a president and leaders who love this country and everything it stands for. Please give us a president and leaders who respect you as the one true God. Please give us a president and leaders who will, with your help, restore this nation to its former glory the way you created her. Please give us a president and leaders that will not try to destroy our churches and religious freedom. Please help us to see and respect what you have given to us so that we do not take anything for granted ever again. Please, God, weaken the evil ones and strengthen the good both within and without. May our eyes be opened so that we become strong in your light and love. In Jesus' name we pray to you, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And that's just a short prayer. We sent it out on the prayer chain this past week. We also have a November prayer we've got recorded, and we're playing at the beginning of some of the programs that you hear on the broadcast. And we've mailed that out to those that request to get it by mail. And we've sent the prayer out to those on the prayer chain. And so we encourage you. It is a prayer to cry out to God for God to save America again. And there's never a lack for things to pray for, and that's certainly something that we can and should be praying for our leaders.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's just, you know, we're seeing so many things change. It just seems like there's change after change after change. You know, one of the things that I thought was interesting is they're having in these hospitals lately, they've been having all kinds of problems with all the these bacterial outbreaks with what they're calling drug-resistant, chemical-resistant bacteria. And basically is what they're saying is they can't kill them. They can't fight them. They don't know what to do with them.
Right.
And they've had, you know, just one after another outbreaks. And they say that it's just that, you know, a lot of these hospitals that they get just one, you know, one speck of it, one molecule of it there, and it starts growing, keeps growing, and then, you know, it gets to the point where, you know, it gets so big, and then somebody finds it or brushes it around, all of a sudden it's just airborne and exposed, and it goes everywhere. And, you know, they're trying, they've been trying antibiotics, they've been trying to, you know, kill it with, you know, different means. And, you know, the interesting thing is that they haven't found anything that will kill it. I mean, it seems to resist everything. And there's several different strains. MERS is the one that I think is more common that they've been dealing with. And they have problems with it getting into cuts and wounds and in the surgery centers. And to me, it is interesting because, I mean, the stuff that they found that can actually resist it is, you know, colloidal silver, is golden seal, juniper berries, cranberries, the stuff that they're using with success on treating the wounds and getting the wounds as a topical antibiotic is honey. And, wow. You know, it's, you know, United Kingdom is big into using honey right now over on in their hospitals. And that's what they're using to seal up all their wounds. And just pure 100% raw. And it's not raw, it's pasteurized, but they go through a flash pasteurization process and they filter it. You know, so that way you don't get the bee wings and stuff like that in there. But they're using that on almost all the hospitals in the United Kingdom right now, and they said that it's better than any antibiotic ointment that they can get. It's a fraction of the cost, and it just works better, and it resists a lot of these bacterial and funguses, and I can't remember the exact numbers, but it was just dramatic on the number of surgeries that they performed with lack of infection due to the incisions when they started using the honey. And I thought that was really interesting because that's something that, you know, pretty much everybody has. And I've used it a lot of times, too. Wanted to tell people that, hey, it works. I've tried it. It's fantastic. You get a wound, you can, you know, if you cut yourself, if you burn yourself, works great on burns, works great on cuts. And you cut yourself open and you have to sew yourself up or something like that, and you put some honey in there. And then before you bandage it up, it heals up just beautifully. And virtually no scarring for some reason. And what I remember about it, I remember reading about it years ago, but it's basically that honey almost feeds that wound area, gives it the nutrients, it supplies the B vitamins, the sugars, the everything that it needs as that body's repairing. And it just grants a rapid recovery. Because it's basically feeding your wound, it's feeding your body, so that your body can mend back together the way that God intended it to. But I thought that was interesting for the wounds. The golden seal is the one that they've been doing. I mean, and that's one of the things that, I mean, anybody that's been around the alternative health thing for years, I mean, echinacea and golden seal. I mean, that's pretty two of the pretty basic ones that, you know, you can see about on just about every health store shelf, probably every one of them, and probably most of us have taken it at one point or another.
And golden seal.
Yeah, golden seal. Yeah, and the other one is what they started. The United Kingdom and even some of these hospitals here in the United States have had to go back and, you know, before it's just the list of drugs that they were treating these urinary tract infections with was just you know, on and on and on. I mean, just talk about, you know, 50 things that I can't even pronounce. It's got more letters in it. Trazodone, like, blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, you have no idea. And then you look at the side effects of what those things were having. And, you know, I mean, treating a urinary tract infection, but it could cause bleeding, could cause ulcers, could cause nausea, could cause suicidal tendencies. It could cause you to be depressed. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on and on with the side effects. And I mean, hey, you're trying to treat a urinary tract infection. Well, what they found is their drugs that they've been treating urinary tract infections is these urinary tract infection viruses have not changed or have mutated so much that the drugs are ineffective against them. And so basically they got something that they can't, they've been trying to figure out what to do, what do we do? Because, I mean, that is one of the things that is pretty much an epidemic here in this nation. And I believe it's simply because people don't drink enough water. You know, you drink the water, you flush your kidneys, you get, keep everything flushed out good. You know, the bacteria isn't going to get built up in there.
Right.
But that's just my personal opinion. But is what they're finding is that, you know, now they have all these drugs or all these viruses and bacteria in the urinary tract that are completely resistant to their drugs. So they've been searching and trying to find out what to do. And they come up with juniper berry and cranberries as the new way of treating it, which, you know, that's something that people have been doing for thousands of years. I mean, that's, you know, if it was old-timers, they always knew that. You get a urinary tract infection, you have something like that, you start on cranberry juice and you drink it on the hour, every hour, you change the pH of your urine and you kill the infection. You know, you can read about it in a lot of these old holistic health books and alternative stuff, and, I mean, it's been around for as long as I can remember, and you know, as long as my grandparents can remember. So it's kind of interesting just to see how we're seeing the switch, and you're seeing a lot of these stuff that, oh, the newest, latest, greatest, this drug that's going to cost you, you know, $300 to cure this urinary tract infection now is ineffective, and the answer is, you know, get on cranberry juice, juniper berry juice, you know, and start fighting it naturally, and which is very, very effective. And I just think that it's interesting because you're just seeing the switch and you're seeing people go back to old ways. New stuff's not working. People are trying some of the old stuff. It's working. It's effective. It always has been. It's the things that people mocked, the medical establishment mocked for many years. They told you that it was, you know, hocus pocus and that it wouldn't do a bit of good. And now that's the route that people are having to go. And to me, that's encouraging because it's part of that medical establishment is failing. It is crumbling.
Yes.
It's not working. And, you know, you're going to have sick people, and it's I just found that very encouraging.
Amen. Amen. Because, like you said, that's something everybody can get. You can get the honey. You know, and I encourage you folks, get local honey if you can. It's great for allergies, among everything that Jason said here, you know, cuts and infections and burns and it supports a local economy. You know, find a gun show or a farmer's market. It's not too late in the fall to find those things. And I know at our gun shows here, they usually have somebody within 100 miles that has buckets of local honey. And so, you know, have all you can. Have that on hand. Use it. We certainly do. And then the, you know, the Golden Seal, you can get that at the health food stores. You can order it online at places. And yeah, that, cranberry juice. What was the other kind of berry, Jason? I know I've used
juniper berries.
Cranberry. And then juniper berries, those grow wild. Around here, I believe.
Yeah, they do.
And so, you know, there's things you can do.
Well,
folks.
Another thing about honey too, and I didn't really mean to turn this into a health show or anything like that, but I think this is good information. And honey is one of the things that is never going to go bad. You know, as long as you you don't even have to keep a lid on it. It gets better with age. It'll crystallize. It'll, you know, it'll do that. But it does nothing. It's the only food known on the face of the earth that can be 1,000 years old or 10,000 years old, and it is still good. It's got nutritional value. It doesn't, you know, break down in any kind of wrong way or anything. And from what the, you know, scientists have found is that it's the only thing on the face of the earth that they found that does not go bad. And so you don't have to worry about buying too much and it going bad and it spoiling before you use it up.
Right.
We buy it by the 5-gallon bucket and use it as, you know, I mean, it's still a sugar, and you don't want to eat too much of it, and because, I mean, especially people that are sensitive to, you know, to sugars, but,
right.
You know, we use it for making our tea, and, you know, some people, we have it there, some people put it in their coffee. Some people, you know, they put it on their cereal and sweeten their cereal with it. But it's something that is just, it's a very healthy. Local honey, absolutely, best way to go. I've seen people that have had allergies, and they did nothing more than local honey. And, you know, sometimes they do some bee pollen with it if they can get it from their beekeeper.
Right.
And started doing that, and their allergies gone in, you know, less than a week. You know, and basically what it is it takes that all those pollens and everything that are get into the honey through the bee process, you take that, and it gives you an immunity to it, you know, whatever you're allergic to in that area. And, you know, it doesn't work for everybody, but I've sure seen an awful lot of people that it worked for. So, you know, health benefits are just phenomenal.
Yes. Yes.
So keep that in your mind. It's something that you know, great to have. And you know, if you do find yourself in a position where you got to put something on a wound or a burn or something like that, by all means, try it.
Amen. Amen. I know I've had the years we've been out here. I've never had allergies until we've been out here for a few years. And you know, different. You grow a little bit older in a different climate, different types of flowers and grasses and things like that. And that's all I've done. And it's just taking care of it. You know, is local honey. We've got a neighbor, and I usually get at least a gallon from him a year, and that goes a long way. And it does. It helps. It's good news. You know, and it's not good news that you have to go make an appointment, you know, to see a specialist in 3 weeks and hope that your Obamacare affordable insurance care can pay for it or will cover it, because more than likely it won't. So it is good news, this information on honey. It absolutely is.
Yeah, and I'll try to get some stuff posted up on the newswire for it. I got some articles saved on my computer somewhere. So if anybody wants any of that information, if anybody wants more information on that, I got some stuff I can send them too. And you can email me at jason@sfaw.org. Exciting times. And, you know, it's like you said, it's, you know, I'll tell you what, the leaves are just about all off the trees here. It's been cooling off. You can feel it in the mornings. We've still been having beautiful days, but in the mornings, you want a good sweatshirt on, and, you know, towards the evening, boy, you sure want to have something.
Yes.
And it's just, and I've actually been surprised at the how, you know, warm and beautiful the weather has been for this time of, you know, for being, gee whiz, being in, you know, November 5th, first week in November, it's kind of hard to believe sometimes.
It is. We, last week, we're still cutting firewood and stacking it, and sometimes you're doing that in your mud boots and you know, heavy coveralls because it's so cold and windy and nasty, and we've been doing it in just long sleeves and gloves. And beautiful weather. We sure thank the Lord for that. He is good to us. You know, he really is. We have to remember to give thanks where thanks are due. And, you know, when we have this beautiful weather, well, we do need to remember to thank Him. It's not Mother Nature that we thank. It is God Almighty who you know, puts the stars in the sky. And, you know, the we're just going into a new moon to where we don't have a moon. And, boy, the stars have been so bright. It's been so clear at night. You can see the stars. You see the little satellites moving across the night sky as well. But Orion's Belt and the North Star and the Big Dipper. Oh, it's been beautiful. Well, Jason, the phone line's ringing. Let's take a caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning.
Well, hey, good morning, everyone.
Yeah, we're talking about some of the natural remedies, and those things are exciting to me to watch and work. And it's, I'm sure y'all have experienced as well. But whenever you get somebody that's a naysayer or a humbug or what have you, you know, and I've had personal experiences with a fellow that's real close to me. I mean, he's a RN nurse, and he's very intelligent. It was a lot about you know, healthcare, and we've tried this and we've tried that and we've tried, you know, and just a situation here recently, he was telling me about a cancer that he had on his face, and he was gonna have to go get half of his nose removed because of that cancer. And he talked to this doctor and he talked to that doctor, and they said, you know, there's really, surgery was the only answer. And he said, but he was okay with that, you know, because at least he'd still be alive, even if he had, you know, big piece of his nose cut off. And I said, well, have you thought about prayer and anointing oil? And he just paused, like you hit the pause button, and he just had that blank stare, and he said, well, it's never happened. I said, well, why don't you try that? And so anyway, then we just went on about our conversation, and so he called me several days later, and he was almost in tears, and he said, well, you know, when he told me about, he said, remember the situation? I said, yeah. And he said, well, I just got word back from the doctor. They ran the test again before they did the surgery, and it came back, but it was nothing. It wasn't even, didn't even show that it was benign or anything. It was just nothing. It's gone. And so it's
great.
That's, you know, and on the holistic part of things, the natural side of the healing, I believe when we pray to God for him to heal us or strengthen us, I believe he expects us to do our part. You know, if you were going to train for a marathon, you wouldn't pray for God to get you in shape, sit on the couch. You know, I mean, you got to do your part. And I believe that's what it is whenever we do use those, when we seek out his ways, when we seek out those natural remedies, the, you know, using the honey for so many things, the propolis, the royal jelly, the different herbs and juices. And, you know, these are all tools that he gave us that don't have the side effects of what man's way has, you know.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I think that was a fantastic story. And, you know, why don't you tell us too? I mean, we've got kind of a professional bee guy on the phone right now, so why don't you tell us a little bit more about some of the benefits of bees and propolis and all that stuff?
Well, I'm far professional with bees. There, you're ever learning.
Guess a professional be one of those guys who doesn't get. He does it.
Sir?
I said, I guess a professional would be one of those guys that doesn't get stung at all when they handle bees.
Well, maybe so, but contrary to popular belief, it's actually good for you to get stung. And that's one thing I was going to talk about a little bit is this bee sting therapy that you can Google it and do a little research on it, but that whenever we're stung by a bee, it's like it jump starts our immune system. I mean, it just kicks it into overdrive, and it's very interesting the work that they have done and the success they've had with this bee sting therapy that that has helped to heal all kinds of different ailments, from cancer to just different things that there is no cure for. I know myself, in my personal experience, I decided, which I've worked my bees some barehanded, and then there's other times that you're supposed to see what kind of mood they're in. you know, and if they're a little bit agitated, it's probably better to wear a glove. So I decided I was going to harvest some honey one time, bear hunt handed, and I could tell the bees were a little bit agitated, and so I said, well, I'm going to do it anyway, and so, yeah, they covered my hands up with stings. But the interesting thing about it was the effects that it had on my body. I mean, I had been kind of, you know, sometimes when you're just feeling down, you don't really know what it is, but you can tell your immune system's down, and you just don't feel the greatest. You know, you're not sick, but you just feel down. And so when those bees stung my hand, I mean, they swole up and had a bunch of heat and all, but as the days went by, I could just feel myself feeling better and better. And it just made a big change in my the way I was feeling at that point, you know. But the propolis is just amazing, the different things that that you can do with it, and also the raw jelly too, which is another part of what the bees make. But as you said, you can't go wrong with and Richard, local honey, and that would be a lot of what's on the allergy side of things, because that's going to be the pollen in your area. I used to have pretty bad allergies myself, and I started messing with the bees, and I started eating more honey, and I've gotten to take it for granted now, but I don't have allergies anymore. I don't have the sneezing and the itchy eyes and all that comes with allergy season. It used to be something that I dreaded. And years ago, I mean, I've tried the Zyrtec and the Claritin and what have you. Whenever you do that, yeah, you may get a window right there of relief, but it's just a matter of time and it's going to come back. Versus with the honey, whenever you get used to having the honey in your coffee, a lot of people have a problem with the honey in their coffee. They even bee people that they can't they can't cross that line of honey in their coffee. But the teas and different baked goods you can use the honey in, it just made a huge difference. And Richard, until hearing you say that, I had just about forgotten about allergies, you know, because it's not something that I have to deal with anymore.
You know what, Josh, same thing here. I remember we'd gone on a road trip to Vegas with the pastor to a broadcast convention, and coming back, I felt like I had a cat fight going on in my eyes, and I wear contacts, and I thought it was just my contacts, but I went to the eye doctor, and he said, well, how long have you had allergies? And I had never had allergies, and this has been about 12 years ago, never had allergies growing up, but had been out here a couple of years, a couple summers, and you know, it's a little different out here. You have the different flowers and fauna than they have in Colorado, and it's different than here. And that was, somebody suggested that. I don't know if it was Pastor or you, Jason, or who, but so I started doing that local honey and haven't had a problem since. And you're right, it's very easy, and I'm in the same boat. You know, I don't know when the last time I've, you know, said, Lord, thank you for your natural food of honey that has cured me of my, my sneezing and my allergies and my runny, itchy eyes that are just, you know, where you're just miserable for days or weeks. We get accustomed to our blessings, and we need to just remember. You know, I think God just, I don't think He holds that against us too bad. He just likes to hear it. Hey, thanks, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for this honey that you give us. That heals.
And like I say, it's not something to beat ourselves down about, right. But hey, when you do think about it, thank you for
absolutely.
It. Absolutely. Give him credit for it.
Absolutely. I got a neighbor here.
I mean, I think, I thought for a long time that, you know, Scripture over and over and over talks about this land being the land of milk and honey.
Yes.
And I think you get good raw milk and you get good local honey. I mean, it's like, you know, that's what God was bragging about, this land being flowing with, you know, and if that's what he was happy with, it's got to be good for you.
Yes.
Well, and in my opinion, the way we do our honey is we don't pasteurize it. We just filter it well, and use it raw. That's debatable.
I think that's the best way to do it.
But the same thing with milk. You know, we just filter the milk well and drink it. And
amen.
What's your thoughts on that, Jason?
I agree 100%. You know, that's what we get for all the honey that we use. We get raw, unpasteurized, filtered. You know, they filter it, just run it through, just basically a screen. Other than that, same thing with the milk. You know, non-pasteurized, non-homogenized, just or you know, organic as much as you can get raw milk. And you know, I mean, the thing is that what I noticed too is you know, the children just flourish on it. You know, you get them good honey, they love honey and they love milk. I mean, and you know, that's kind of, that's very, in our household, that's very, two very essential things that, you know, we just make sure you don't run out of.
And, exactly.
But I think they're just healthier because of it too. I mean, I think everybody is. I think it's just, you know, it's good things. It's basically what it boils down to is as close to a perfect food as you can get in today's day and age.
And you know, like I said, everything is to be in moderation. But,
exactly.
And if you know you're a diabetic, you probably shouldn't go eating tablespoons and tablespoons of honey because it does have the sugars in it. Now, it is very much the lesser of the evils, that versus the refined sugar.
Absolutely.
Your body reacts to it completely different ways.
Yeah,
but so anyway, the reason I called in was just that to point out the fact that even if we do go, you know, if you got something big facing you, it can be scary, and we try to, you know, we do our best to lean on the Lord and to look to Him, but sometimes we get scared and we go the AMA way, and but you know, He's still there, and we still got His promise of where our healing comes from. It's by His stripes we are healed, and
amen.
So if you go that way, it's not too late to change, you know, the direction you're going. That's why I was going to the instance with the cancer. You know, he had looked to the doctors and he had lined up the surgery and all that, but it wasn't too late, and he went to his church on Wednesday night, the gentleman did, and he was anointed and prayed over and laid hands on, and the Lord cured him of it. You know, he healed him.
Oh.
And so it's never too late to look to God, because he's in control and he's merciful, and I thank him so much for his mercy, because we all fall so short, and we need to remember to have mercy on each other just the same way as he does on us. That's a challenge sometimes, but you know, if he can forgive, then we'll be able to as well.
Amen.
Oh, I thought about that an awful lot. That thought just right there is, you know, sometimes, you know, you're having a hard time forgiving somebody, or you think, you know, look what this person did to me, or, you know, just thoughts start coming into your head. And then, you know, I tell you what, it's a really sobering thought. And then I used to sit there and I think about everything that I've done and think, and God's forgiven me, you know, of everything. He took everything, all the stripes that were due me for everything that I've ever done over my years. He took those and said, no, they don't go there, they go here. And took those for me. And I tell you what, that's a very sobering thought for me.
It sure knocked me down off my high horse a time or two whenever, like what you're saying, I can't believe this guy did this, and he wronged me, and this is, you know, and then I think about all the times that I've more or less fit in God's face, and he's turned around and still blessed me, still
yes.
protected me in spite of it. So many times when you're doing wrong, he'll show you an instance when you almost get ran over by an 18-wheeler, but he still delivered you, even though, you know, you're not where you're supposed to be right then. And, at least that's the way it is in my life, and so I'm thankful for his mercy, and I do not want to tempt him or test him. I'd rather be humble than humbled.
Yes. Yes, amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Y'all have a good day.
All right, brother.
Well, thanks. You too. On.
Thanks. Didn't get that button pushed soon enough. My apologies. Well, we've still got a few minutes here left. 307-745-5913. You know, Jason, that forgiveness that you guys were talking about, it is a very important thing. I'm hoping in the next couple weeks to have a little scriptural insight on Sunday morning and talk about that again. We had one about a year or two ago, but I think I've come to some new understandings. And it's along the lines of what you had said. You know, when we realize all the things we've been forgiven of, and then, you know, we are to be forgiving. It's one of the works that we are to do. It's not always an easy work. Sometimes it's hard, like Josh said. Well, let's try this other caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. I had some thoughts about what you were just talking about. Well, one of the things is that it was mentioned that, you know, I mean, we have to go and pray and seek the Lord first for these healings. But, you know, we need to do something for the most part, most of the time. You know, concrete here, and, you know, it's sort of a Pastor Peter's question was, is it because we prayed or is it because we applied this such and so to it? And the answer is yes, you know. It's both of those. But you were talking about the bee sting being good for the immune system and curative properties and everything else. And I've been, you know, looking into this fever thing. I've got a low, chronically low body temperature, you know. And, I mean, I'd pay good money for a fever right now. One of those that I tried to kill 10 years ago with antibiotics or something like that. But, it's this, and there's a whole school of thought that when your children get fevers and things like that, they're building up immunity to cancer and all sorts of other things. You know, but and there's sort of a parallel in the spiritual world. I mean, to make real progress, to dig yourself out of something, often there needs to be some sort of an attack.
You know, absolutely. And we when we experience those things. When we have experienced them in the past, as parents, children with fever, you know, we see that very thing. You know, it fever is your friend, is basically it. You know, it does. That heat kills the bacteria, the viruses. It's good. We don't like it when we're going through it. We don't like seeing our children suffer. We don't like having it when we have it. But after it's done, we see that. And so that hindsight's 20/20. When we look back on it, we're able to see, hey, this was good. This was beneficial. And you're right. In our spiritual walk, you know, when we can look back at trials in our lives, you know, we can see that God was always there. You know, Jason, in every trial in your life, has God ever abandoned you or not been there with you?
No, never.
Bill, how about you? Ever?
No. Sometimes it took 10 years for me to figure out exactly, you know, how he fished me out. But
and it's like that now. It's like that fever is our friend for our children and for us. Yeah. It is. Well, you know, when we go through trials, we have to, you know, that dross has to be burned off to make us pure. And that comes through trials. It comes through hardships. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, it says, "But you be sober in all things, endure hardship." In chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Well, you know, that's how it is. But doesn't the Bible tell us that Jesus Christ learned what? Obedience through, I think it says suffering?
Suffering.
He learned obedience through suffering. The Son of God. Because when he walked on this earth, he was a flesh and blood man, just like we are. And I think as an example for us, that's how the master plan was. That's one of the things. He faced every temptation we can face, and he overcame them without sin. And that's a good example for us. And he learned obedience. We've heard a lot of talk about that from this ministry lately. When our obedience is complete, the disobedience will be punished. And we're ready to punish all disobedience when our obedience is complete. And how do we learn obedience? Through suffering. That's how it is. It's just the opposite of what you hear in these prosperity, good news, everything's going to be fine and dandy kind of gospels out there. But we do. We have to suffer. We have to go through trials. But, you know, we prove. Our faith is proven in those trials. And we have to remember. And I tell you, I have to remember right now. I have to remember today, right now, that when I look back, Lord, you've never abandoned me. Lord, you have, you know, when we've had children in the hospital, the Holy Spirit's been right there with us. You know, when we've had difficulties, when we've moved across the country, when we've had the gates of hell come against us, God has always been there. He has always delivered us. Now, you know, when you're neck deep in the battle, or, you know, the old saying from down south, when you're neck deep in alligators, sometimes it's hard to remember that your job was to drain the swamp. But at least you're about the draining. You know, you might get neck deep in alligators going about your job, your duty, going about your responsibility, if that's to drain the swamp, so to speak. And sometimes that happens. But we have to remember when we're going through it. Well, you know, the last time I had something like this, I was delivered. And the time before, and when I saw Jason and he had an issue, well, he was delivered. And our pastor was delivered time and time again. And it just goes on. Those are the things we have to focus on. Those are the things we have to remind ourselves that his word is true. His word is true in that I'll never leave you. I'm always there with you. In Mark 11, verse 22, Jesus says, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt it in his heart, but believes what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him." Well, when we look back, we've prayed for healing, and we've gotten healing. We've prayed for deliverance. We've been delivered from the hand of those that hate us. We prayed believing. We have to remember that when that happens.
We as a people, we keep chickening out, so to speak. I mean, look, anything to avoid this test or this trial that we're put here to experience.
Well, isn't that, that's...
If you look at Samuel's warning to, you know, he warns about a king. We want a king. Okay, listen, he's gonna take all your produce, and he's gonna make you servants, and he's gonna send your sons out to get killed, and he's gonna rule over you with an iron hand. And they say, but we want somebody to go out and fight our battles, you know. So, and when we do this, the ultimate suffering is twice as bad as it would have been otherwise.
Yes. It is. So it's trust and obey. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, it just expands from there. So, hey, and Bill, one other thing you mentioned, we're just about out of time, but you said you'd pay for a good fever. You know, here locally, we've got a recreation center in town. And last year, they put in a hot sauna and a steam sauna. And I have used those. I have paid for those fevers, so to speak. So I don't know if you have anything like that around, but boy, that's a good thing to be able to go in there. It's about 135 degrees in that steam sauna and just sweat. And sometimes I've been up there with my boys and I tell them, yeah, this is what it was like growing up in Florida. You know, we used to dig ditches and cut grass in this kind of temperature. But, but you know, as long as you can handle it, it's a good, you know, artificial fever, so to speak, because it'll sure get your core temperature up. Just the thought that occurs to me. So might look at that. Well, brother, thanks for the phone call.
Thank you.
All right. God bless. Well, Jason, we find ourselves once again about out of time here on the Coffee with the Wranglers.
It is about that time.
Folks, we want to invite you to church tomorrow. The good Lord willing and the creek don't rise, we will be there. And we're planning on a live scriptural insight tomorrow. I thought I'd try to kind of talk a little bit about the election. I got a couple thoughts I thought I'd bring and just kind of throw out there. You know, there's so much going on, and Jason, you've mentioned it a lot of times. When you see the world focusing here, you might, you know, see what's going on over there. Because a lot of times when all the world's focus is over here, there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. And we want to be aware of that. We do. But anyway, we want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can join us at 10 a.m. Mountain Time at the website, scriptures4america.org. You can click on the live video stream. And Jason, I think you've got it set up that it'll stream to just about anything, won't it, from a phone to a Mac?
It should.
Yeah.
And if it don't, let me know.
Yeah.
You can email me and let me know. I think everything that I've been able to throw at it lately, it's been coming in good.
Yeah.
So,
yep. We've been working on the audio levels. Folks have been letting us know up or down, and we appreciate that. So we invite you to church. There's the invite. 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast. Get to sleep in out there in North Carolina and New York. But join us. We'll have scriptural insight, talk about the news a little bit. You get to see Jason again with a welcome. We've got some, I think we've got a couple, maybe some new music for you tomorrow. So come and join us and find out. We'll have a communion. We'll remember what our Lord and Savior did for us in going to that cross. And we'll claim the promises, and we will partake of communion. And we will have a Holy Spirit-inspired message for you and for us. And if we will come and have the right spirit about us, we will learn. And we will encourage we will encourage each other and be encouraged. And that's a big part of it. Well, thanks again. Thanks, Jason. Folks, as we go out, we'll remind you of our address if you want to write to us. And it is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.